Hello again, everyone. Pastor Deborah here. Welcome to the wonderful Garden of Eden in the realm of the spirit. I'm sitting in my living room, as you know, with no green screen. So as you know, things will look strange around my hair. I might be fuzzy to you. The words, when I put them up on the screen, might be fuzzy. And if I reach my hand out, it could just disappear into the background of this wonderful motion video by Pixabay. I'm recording in Zoom Pro for you today, and I'm sitting physically in my living room. Husband has gone fishing with dog and a friend. House is quiet. Yeah, I even have to turn off our air conditioner because it gets noisy. And if I'm too fuzzy for you and you can't read the words, close your eyes and just listen. This is for you, the forever person. I prayed for you last night. I prayed that my words would be more anointed and that you would spiritually understand easier. I didn't sleep much last night. I was in prayer. And then I got sent to help many little ones come up out of their physical bodies because death was occurring. I took them into the light with me, walked with them to the very throne room of the kingdom of heaven. I don't know what planet they were on, what solar system they were in, what star system I was at. It doesn't matter. You are a forever person. And when death is coming, or you have prayed and there is no hope and you're ready to go and to step into his arms of agape love, into the kingdom of heaven, into a new life, but don't know how to do it or afraid, Pastor Deborah gets sent to help you. Sometimes I'll send an angel to help you. Most of the time I go by myself, even into the wombs where little babies are being aborted, murdered, killed. Innocent living things that had no say in them getting created. Know nothing of the world, but the world comes to them through a mother's heart and mind and hate. And her embarrassment may be of the sin that she's done. Doesn't want anybody to know. Or that maybe she was raped, or it was against her will. Doesn't matter. A little life is there. A physical body is formed. Doesn't take long. And the spirit, the forever person, comes into that dirt to come out of the womb of a woman, a man. Doesn't matter what you think about yourself. A biological man cannot have a womb. Those are set by DNA, by order and law. So it doesn't matter what you feel you are. Doesn't matter what you think you are. It would be like saying, I feel like I'm the Queen of England. And I need to be living in Buckingham Palace or Windsor Castle. And I need to be there. And if you think I'm wrong, then you are a traitor. You're not loving. You're racist. You're hateful. Because that's how I feel. I feel like, and I believe with everything in me, I am a queen or a king, and I deserve to be living in Buckingham Palace, a royal one, and you need to serve me. Would that be the truth? I think there's already a queen in Buckingham Palace in Windsor. Been there 70 years, I understand. But you can feel that, and you can have those beliefs, but they're not true. It's just the same way. If you are born with a certain biological sex, DNA, genetics, and you don't feel like that is the rightful body you should have, we call that confusion. The mental health world would call it dysphoria, confusion of who you are. Now, sometimes, if you've been sexually abused or tormented, you might create another personality within yourself of the other sex. Is that what it is? An escape mechanism to avoid being one sex or the other? Many little girls do that. They believe if they dress like and act like a boy, they will not be sexually abused. But here in the garden, in the realm of the spirit, our spirits have no gender. We are non-gender beings. We could take on any gender that we want to, but we're really just a non-gender being. It's hard to understand that when we live in our mind so much, in our biological body, of one sex or no sex, or we change our gender, our names, our pronouns, based on our feelings, based on our ideas or beliefs, or maybe our circumstances of life. Some parents wanted a boy, got a girl. So the girl says, for them to love me, I got to act like a boy, cut my hair, dress like a boy, then they'll love me. It goes the other way. Some wanted a girl and they get a boy. So the boy starts dressing like a girl. Maybe grandma does it because they all wanted a little girl. Many different reasons for all that confusion. But let's get back to our story. We have been working through the kingdom of darkness. Now, isn't that strange? I just told you a story that comes from the very heart of the king of the kingdom of darkness. Sexual confusion, gender identity confusion, confusion of thoughts. Who am I? What am I? Comes right out of the kingdom of darkness. Confusion. Also, there's always a spirit of perversion, iniquity. Maybe the spirit of lying is working. Bewitchment. Maybe you're under a spell by an evil, wicked sorcerer and you don't know it. Could be. We've been working in this series called The Kingdom of Darkness. I wrote this book years ago because I had to study both the kingdom of heaven and its opposite, the kingdom of darkness. Darkness means ignorance. It's sort of like when you look at the yin and the yang. One side is white. The other side is black. They're opposites. They are side by side to each other. But we can see a clear difference. And in the kingdom of heaven, you would consider that one to be the white part. And the kingdom of darkness that has been created in the very heart and mind of its king, Satan, who had been a high archangel named Lucifer. Well, he got prideful, wanted to become the king of the kingdom of heaven himself. He didn't want to bow and serve Christ Jesus or this man that was coming. this human, you, the forever person. But he was given a task to protect and guard the very presence of God from all sin and sinners and traitors. He was given the keys to hell, death, and the grave. Mm-hmm. He was a powerful being of the first age, the son of the morning, the son of the first age, the offspring of the first age. So in this book, it is all about Satan and his kingdom. I had to study him. And we got off onto the area called the presence of the Lord. This was the very presence that Satan was kicked out of. The presence of the Lord. And we have been working through it from scriptures to understand what that is. Because you have to know what that is so you will know what you have not been in. And when you come to the garden, you will know there's a difference here. Mm-hmm. It's like this. Now, there are no dead trees in the garden. Everything is living. But the sun represents God's presence. Oh, are there clouds and skies? Yes, beauty. Are there mountains and rivers and lakes? Yes. Green grasses and animals? Yes. But it's more than that, and that's what we've been working through in these last few videos, the presence of the Lord. Because I had to understand what Satan lost, was kicked out of, and therefore we ourselves, in our sinful nature, also lost. And I had to have a big understanding of the kingdom of darkness and those who served in it. Who were the rulers? Who were the slaves? What was it about? And I found out it's here on this planet and on yours as well. It's the governing system. It's its rules. It's political leaders. It's its laws. It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life and jealousy, hatred, and death, and killing, and murder, perversions, and lies, and so much more. Yeah, it is here on earth inside of you, inside your spirit, inside your soul, and it comes out through your physical body. It's perversion. It's twisting. It's iniquity, sin. It's horrible. We see it every day in the world. Wars, abuses, killing, nature. Abusing the climate, abusing animals, robbing and stealing from each other, lying about it, selling everything for money. Mm-hmm. That's the kingdom of darkness. We were born in it, and we were nothing but slaves and serfs and servants to be used and abused in it. For Satan. So here in this Presence of the Lord video, this is number 19, we're going to pick up where we had been working. We're going to pick up in Exodus 34 and work through verses 5 through 7 of the Authorized King James Bible. So let's begin first with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here with us in your presence, in your Garden of Eden, the spot of your pleasure and delight. You've brought us here no matter what planet we are on, what star galaxy we're in, what solar system we're a part of. You have brought our spirits, our forever persons, into your presence. To help us grow and learn and understand you and the beauty and majesty of being in your presence. So we can learn what we lost, what we fell from, even from our birth in the womb. We were separated from you and your majestic, glorious presence of agape love. So help us, Father, through your Holy Spirit, our teacher, because we believe in your Son, Christ Jesus, who went to a cross for us, died for us, because he loved you and us, so we could be brought back to you, redeemed and saved back to what our original image and likeness was, our original identity as your child, living in your presence of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Father, for helping us to continue to understand what Satan fell from, what we lost, and are always trying to find in our darkness and confusion through many other ways, the presence of the Lord, you. Thank you, Father, for helping us in this video. In the name of Christ Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, this is going to be part number 19. We're going to pick up with Exodus 34, 5 through 7. We had been working where Moses was up high on a mountaintop. Moses had helped the nation of Israel to be free from Egypt. They had been there for about 400 years, as was told and prophesied by the Lord, under the pharaohs of Egypt. They started off with one family of Israel and 12 boys. And they had known through their father Israel, God of the kingdom of heaven, God Almighty. But after 400 years of being in a foreign land, the kingdom of darkness is what Egypt represented back then, under the Pharaoh, which represented Satan. And the reason they became slaves is the story told us that once the first Pharaoh who knew Joseph and the family died, Pharaohs came up later, not knowing these people, these Hebrews, these wanderers. And one Pharaoh came along and he became afraid because the Israelites were growing in number. They were getting strong in sheep and cattle, flocks, and in number. The Israelites did not believe in abortion. They did not abort their babies. They did not kill them, even if they were disfigured or had other kinds of special needs. They did not do that. So their numbers grew. And this Pharaoh became very afraid of them, that they might side with his enemies and overthrow him. So he said, we'll have to enslave the Israelites. We'll have to take away their freedom and their privileges. Put them to work making our pyramids, our buildings. Beat them, enslave their women, kill their babies. So they proceeded. This one Pharaoh did that. And this was almost 400 years after the family, the tribe of Israel, came into Egypt. And so the Pharaoh made a decree, because they had heard a prophecy about a mighty one who was coming, who would set these Israelites free. Now that was a prophetic word of Moses who was coming, as well as Christ Jesus. Israel means prince. A lot of the spiritual realities were played out in the Old Testament of the King James Bible in the natural. So we could understand spiritual things. So when this Pharaoh heard that a deliverer was coming to set the Israelites free, he decreed that all children, maybe 2 and 3, would be killed. He wasn't going to have that. So guess what? Moses' mother, who was a Levite, put her son in a basket. And he went on the Nile River and found the daughter of Pharaoh, who husband was dead and she had no children. And she fell in love with that little baby. She knew he was a Hebrew and had been, by law, was supposed to die by her own father. Well, she took him in after he finished weaning at the breast of his mother. While Moses was at his mother's breast, Mama proceeded to talk to him about the Hebrews, about this God, this one true God, not the gods of Egypt. The Levites were designated to be servers of God, to work in his temple, to be the priest, until another tribe called Judah could come up. Moses learned as a child about his people. And then at a certain age, very young, maybe 5, maybe, he was given back to the Pharaoh's daughter to be raised as an Egyptian. And he was. He learned to read and write. He learned Egyptian laws. He learned magic. He knew about the magicians and the wizards of the Pharaoh. He became a builder and a leader, great warrior. And now this Moses, after he had done battle with the partnership of the Lord and the Lord's presence in Egypt, he was up on a mountaintop talking to God, saying, I want to be in your presence. I want to see your glory. And if your glory doesn't go with us into this new land, you're telling me to take them through or through the desert, we're not going. We can't survive without you. And what would people say if you kill us? They'd say, you brought us out here to kill us, that you're not a loving God. So Moses is up on this mountain, and he is talking to God, asking God to show him his glory and his goodness and his presence. And what happened was, Moses said to him in Psalms 31:19, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for us. The fear and respect, the obedience and the love, which you have brought and stored up here for the Israelites that trust in you before the sons of the other nation. He went on and told us more about this in Psalms 72:19, which was written by King David, the second king of Israel. And blessed be his glorious name, his nature, his essence, his image and likeness, his being and character forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. We were beginning to hear way back then, what was this presence of the Lord that Satan was kicked out of, lost within himself? And we, as a forever person born on our planet and our dirt, we too had been kicked out because of the actions and decisions of one of our first forefather. His name was Adam, and his helpmate was woman, the womb man. Now to Exodus 34:5-7. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, sin, and transgressions, and that will no means clear the guilty. How is this done? Even though you forgive our iniquities and our transgressions, Moses is saying, you're also saying that doesn't clear the guilty. Somebody's guilty of something. Says, how is this going to be done? God goes on and says, by visiting, afflicting this iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generations. Yes, things from your family, iniquity, transgressions can follow the children. God proclaimed it and said it. It was law. And it works in the kingdom of darkness as well. We hear it a lot. You look just like your grandfather. You act just like your great uncle. We see the sins of a child abuse from one generation to another. Mm-hmm. So God is saying it will travel the family lines. Three and four generations. And somebody will be born and go, how did you turn out like this? What caused you to be born thinking the way you're thinking? What caused your parents to treat you a certain way? There's a lot about this. They're called curses. Your family can also be blessed for three and four generations. Now let's go back to Exodus 33, 14 through 23. Verse number 20. And he, the Lord, said unto Moses. Remember, Moses is up on the mountain, wanting to see God's glory, wanting to see him face to face. And God says, you cannot see my face. For there shall be no man see me and live. In our condition at that time, both physically and spiritually, we were still guilty of a forefather's sin and iniquity, Adam. It had not been cleared, forgiven, back to 10,000, back to Adam. He said, if I look upon you, I will kill you. My righteousness is so pure and holy, and you are sinful. You're a traitor. I will kill you without meaning to. My light will burn up all sin and iniquity. And that's you, Moses. He says, you can't look on my face. That was not a good place to be in. But Moses even then was saying, I want to see you. I want to have a closer relationship with you. Even in your sinful condition, the Spirit is seeking this presence. Doesn't know what it is, calls out to it, calls out a lot of times to a God it does not know. It has no conscious awareness of its sinful condition. Even the soul has protected itself from reality. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 5:24. This was written by Moses, given to him by God to help provide laws and rules and guidelines to this new nation out of Egypt that was to live and be in the presence of the Lord. And it was to get its flesh under control, its thoughts under control, its feelings, its sexual nature under control to the laws of God. Verse 24 of Deuteronomy 5. And you said, Moses said to the Lord, behold, the Lord our God has shown us, Moses talking to the people, his glory and his greatness. And they're going, huh? I didn't know. And we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God does talk with us and he lives. What had happened is they had gone up to a mountain to meet with God. God came down like us, big one up there. And he came down in fire and smoke. And it scared the Israelites that they ran back into their tents. And they told Moses, you go up to God, you talk to him, and you come back and tell us what he said. We're too afraid. He's going to kill us. So Moses did, and he comes back and he says, hey, he's here. We've seen him. He's got some power and mercy. And we saw that God talks. A lot of people didn't know that statues talked. If you watch the movie, The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, you hear old Ramsey say, these gods, they can't talk. They're just statues. Mm-hmm. Let's go over to Exodus 19, 18 through 19. Verse 18. And Mount Sinai was altogether filled with smoke, because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. He was making an entrance out of the realm of the spirit into the natural world. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. The whole mountain quaked greatly. Can you imagine? Sort of like a volcano, maybe. And that was God's entry to the Israelites. Most of them never heard his voice. He was an invisible God. He had no statues. He wanted no earthly images of himself. Verse 19. And when the voice of the trumpet, he likes trumpets, he likes music, sounded long and waxed, it grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. Have you ever heard God's voice? I have. Yeah. You don't have to yell at us anymore because he's in us when you're born again through the cross, through the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. At this time, that had not happened. He was only dealing with flesh creatures of the soul. He was a spiritual being trying to have an interaction and communicate with chosen people. What he wanted for the Israelites was to learn about him, live their lives according to his rules, and so he could bless them. Then all the other nations would compare him and these people as his God, these people as this God's people. They would want and desire him to be blessed like the Israelites. So they were to be a witness, a testimony, fruit for the rest of the world. And God was having them trouble getting these Israelites to learn new ways of thinking and believing and spirituality and worship. They were just flesh creatures. But his goal was to say, bless this nation of Israel. Do mighty things in my name. Draw all nations to me through you. They didn't do that. Now let's go back to Exodus 33, 14 through 23, verse 21. And the Lord said, Moses, behold, there is a place by me. Moses is up on a big high mountain, way up there on a cliff. You go there and you shall stand upon a rock. And that's a reference to the spiritual position to the Lord. Standing and believing in Christ Jesus, the rock. When you hear his word, he goes, how am I supposed to get over there? The words are rock. So Moses is up high on a mountain all by himself. Climbing, seeking. We even see that in that movie, Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. He saw a bush burning and he left his friend and his wife. He climbed up to a little bush that was on fire, but it wasn't burning. God's always up. And even in your thoughts, when you're in the kingdom of darkness, and there's pressure on you to kill yourself, your thoughts must climb up to life, to freedom. Out of the darkness and the depths, the tombs of death. Verse number 22. And it shall come to pass, God's telling Moses up on the mountain, while my glory passes by you, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Did you know God has hands? His glory can be seen. I have experienced that in a revival back in 1995 through about 2000, when the glory of the Lord showed up in a church called the Brownsville Assembly of God. Came through the teaching and preaching of a young evangelist, Steve Hill. Get the sin out, come into the presence of God, and let him touch you. You go look at the videos. They're on the YouTube channel of the Hidden Kingdoms. Excellent. So God says, okay, Moses, I'll answer your deep desire. But in your condition right now, you can't look at me face to face. I'll kill you. Not that I mean to, but you're not righteous yet. So I'll put you there. I'll even cover your eyes up. I'll put a veil, a blinder on you, so I won't kill you and you won't be blinded. My glory will pass by. Okay. Verse 23. And I will take away my hand, and you shall see my backside, my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Until you're born again, you cannot look at God face to face. You could only see his back. So that was what Moses got to see of this God. And this is his deep desire to be in the presence of the Lord. Now we go off to 1 Chronicles 16:27. Glory and honor are in his presence, the Lord. Strength and gladness are in his place. We're beginning to see the power of his presence. There's glory in it. There's honor. There's power, majesty, bright light, brilliance. Now we go to Psalm 16, verse 11. You, O Lord, this should be your cry, will show me, Moses, King David, about the path, the ways of life. Show me, speak to me, show me. And in your presence is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Moses experienced this. King David was expanding on the presence of the Lord. He is saying, in your presence is the fullness of joy. You may not even know what joy is. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. We hope that you're beginning to understand what Satan lost, what Lucifer was kicked out of, and what we are born out of, even in the womb. And until we're born again through Christ Jesus, we are not in his presence. in the glory of the Lord. When you come to the garden, you are. That's his pleasure and delight. It's still not quite the fullness of his glory. Even in heaven, there's more glory, more pleasures that you can even imagine. More light, more beauty, more joy. Yes, some of you are not born again yet. I know that. He is allowing you to come in so he can begin like he did with Moses and touch you and allow you to see his backside, his pleasure, his delight here on earth, even if you're not born again yet. Moses was not. He did not have the Holy Spirit in him. But his soul was craving, desiring, going after this God of Israel, this God that helped free his people, this God that did battle with him against Egypt, this God that was leading them out into the wilderness, this God that Moses had heard about as a child at his mother's breast, had learned from his brothers and sisters. I know, yes, he forgot about him when he went into the world, Egypt. And he learned about other gods and other things. But God brought him back through a powerful experience as a grown man through a burning bush. And Moses learned that God was a God of spirit. And he was in all men. Now I have two songs that were written, sung long time ago about the presence of God and his coming. The first one is called O Holy Night. It was written by Adolphe Adam in 1847. Many people and singers and musicians have sung this and played it. It's excellent to hear in a slow form. So I'm just going to sort of read it to you. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear, precious child's birth. This was written about the birth of Christ Jesus, but it also was adapted for you because it is your night, your day of your precious child, your birth into the presence of the Lord. A night when the Heavenly Father's agape love came down and touched a broken heart. Long lay your heart in sin and mourning until agape love came down and appeared, and your soul felt agape love's touch. God will take any song and adapt it to your spirit, to you, the forever person. When this is sung around the time of Christmas, it is relating to Christ, the little baby. What we learn in this first little part is that the world laid in sin and mourning. Our hearts were sad. Our soul needed to feel love come to it. The thrill of hope, our weary heart would rejoice, for yonder, you see it right there, breaks a new and glorious morning. Fall on your knees, little ones. Oh, hear the angels, their voices singing. O spiritual child of the Lord, I love you. O precious one, O divine one, the night when agape love filled the emptiness and hollowness of a wounded and broken and weary world, your heart, your forever person, he considers your spirit a world broken and wounded, grieving. It is the world, your spirit, that he desires to touch and rule in, be a part of. O love divine, O the night that agape love came down. Yes, it came down to the earth in the form of Christ Jesus when he was born. And he now comes to you. He is coming down from his high place, his kingdom of heaven, to you, wherever you are. It is a holy night for you. That's how he changed the song so he could talk to you now. He is a God of great inspiration. He wants you to hear him speaking to you. He wants you to know about his love for you. Then he had another song written called In the Presence of Jehovah. You can find this one in O Holy Night on YouTube. A lot of many different singers and musicians play these. And when they sing it, you listen carefully. This one was written by Demarius Carbaugh. I'm probably not saying it correctly. In and out of situations that tug at war at me. We all have that in our soul and spirit. All day long, I struggle for the answers that I need. Is that you? Are you looking for things and can't find it? Pleasures? Love? Peace? Happiness? But when I come into his presence, all my questions become clear. So you have questions of your spirit. Your soul is not. Your soul is looking for answers in the earthly world, the world of the kingdom of darkness. You're looking for answers in all the wrong places, from all the wrong things. But your spirit also is asking questions. And for that sacred moment, there are no doubts can interfere. When you come to the garden, into his presence, he touches you, speaks to you, visits you in your dreams. There's no doubts about him. They cannot interfere with his love for you. Many things might come to you saying they are him, but they are not. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, the Prince of Peace, troubles vanish. Hearts, your minds are mended in the presence of the King. Through his love, the Lord provided a place for me to rest. Now there is never any reason for one to give up in despair. Just slip away and breathe. Think, say his name, and he will surely meet you there. He's not far, even in your condition. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace. Troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King, in the presence of the King. Two powerful songs for you. My prayers for you are always something like this. Holy Father, let your agape love come down upon these precious spiritual child's heart, like you did with Moses on the mountain, like you did when you brought your son, Christ Jesus, into the world. As a warm, sweet, soft blanket of your glory and presence. Feel the spiritual emptiness of their hearts and minds and souls, and take away their pains and loneliness. Feel the emptiness, the hollowness of their hearts. Take away their spiritual heartaches. He'll touch your spirit. This is all for your spirit. What you feel in your soul is just a magnification of your spirit. It is allowing what is in your spirit to come forth. Touch them with your precious agape love. Pour out your sweet and soft and warm spiritual presence in your glory blanket. When you come to the garden, you feel as a little child, a baby, wrapped in warm, cuddling blankets, nursing, drinking in milk, sleepy and peaceful, and having eyes and voices tell you, you are loved, and you are beautiful, and you are a child of the Father. Touch them, Father, with your gentle touch of agape love. Touch them with your Prince of Peace, a river that flows from your own heart. Feel their spiritual heart with your agape love that heals their spirits and will never hurt them or abuse them. Thank you, Father, for coming into our world. Every time I pray this for you, the Most High God, the Great I Am, Jehovah Himself, answers this prayer. For it is His own heart's desires that He desires to touch you and to touch your wounded and broken spirit, your forever person, with His presence, with His agape love, with His peace, with His joy, His forgiveness and mercy. His agape love is something like the rays of sunlight. In His spiritual presence is Himself, glorious, sparkling rays of peace, joy, forgiveness, agape love, mercy, wholeness, healing, deliverance, freedom, strength. All a little spiritual forever one needs. So I pray for you, and He answers. All are invited, all of you, from every galaxy, every star system, out of the world of the kingdom of darkness, out of the world system of lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, out of denominations, out of religion, traditions, and cultures, out of the evil wickedness of the world, of your soul, and out of the kingdoms of darkness, spiritual kingdom itself. All are invited to come and see and taste of his agape love in his presence. All are spiritually brought to his sanctuary here on earth, here on your planet, the Garden of Eden, where he has put his name and his presence abides. All are welcomed into his presence, just as you are. He'll be gentle with you. He'll help you to want more of him. All can be spiritually touched by a Father's loving presence of agape love. And this is what Satan lost, what he was kicked out of. He was to be a servant to you. He was to help you to stay out of sin and trespass. But if you didn't, or if any other spiritual being fell into sin, trespass, a traitor, broke the laws of the kingdom of heaven, they'd be sent to hell, to the grave, separation from him, eventually the lake of fire. And Satan still had the keys till a young man named Christ Jesus died and went into hell itself for you to take your punishment that was owed. And when it was done, the sin was gone. He took back the keys from Satan right there in hell, to hell, to death and the grave. And he gave them to Pastor Deborah and all believers to help keep you out of that place. That's right. But I can also use those keys to put Satan and his demons into that place. I can lock them up, bind them up in great pits behind doors that they can never come out of. I'm the keeper of the keys now, of prisons and jails. I can open them and close them. I'm given that. And he wants you to have those. But first, he wants you to come into his presence, into his garden of his pleasure and delight. Taste and see of him. Learn of him. And then decide to become one of his children through his son, Christ Jesus. And it's done. And then you begin feeding and nursing and drinking and eating of his great agape love. You'll be touched by his warm blanket, his glory blanket. His rays of presence, his love will touch you, wash over you, cause your spirit to grow and learn, be nourished in the presence of the Lord. It's powerful. I've been through it. I know what that feels like. I couldn't stand up. I would get prayer to be touched by God in this Brownsville revival. Would fall over physically, never got hurt. And for 2.5 hours, every single night, 7 nights a week, for years, God washed over me with his presence. Waves of peace, joy, power. He was bringing my spirit back to life, freeing it from wherever it had been, even though it was born again. Breaking things off, cleansing it. My story goes, one night I was on the floor in prayer, touched by God. And all of a sudden, I'm in a crystal river with waves just washing over me. And then a golden hand and sponge show up, start scrubbing me. Then a golden beam of light, drying me. I said, God, what is going on? He said, I'm cleaning you up for the work you are to do. That was my deliverance. washed and cleaned and dried in the very presence of God. Never had a demonic spirit since, even though they've tried. God has protected me to do this work. I didn't know back then I'd be on a video with you teaching. I knew something I was to be a teacher, to stand in front of people, but I thought that was to be in the world, but it's not. Long after I'm gone from this earth, gone on into the kingdom of heaven through death, these videos and YouTube will still be there. LinkedIn, I guess it'll still be. It's like a book, a verbal book, an audio book, still teaching about the presence of the Lord. There are many other teachers out there that can help you. A lot of books to read, audio books, even movies, songs. Yeah, these two. Oh, Holy Night in the Presence of the Lord are songs. God worked through people in every way, statues, paintings, poems, theater. Some of the strangest movies I watch end up being Christian. The Vikings going from being pagan to Christian. I hear it all over the place. Even Akhenaten, the Pharaoh of Egypt, who believed no longer in polygods, but the one true God, the Aten, the sun god. That's what he believed in. Even back then, God was talking to us. So you be encouraged. You come into his presence. You become his child. Let him give you a Hebrews 4:12. Come. You are welcome in his presence now. You can come freely without fear, and he will help you to be healed spiritually, strengthened, and grow. So you too one day can be a teacher. Some don't get the chance. Their life is short. Their death comes early in their life. But that's okay. When you get to heaven, you'll still keep learning because you're coming back to a new earth. The new planet, this old thing, and in your will all be destroyed. And a new one will come forth with new us on it and new bodies. No more sin, no more death. Yeah, and he'll be with us, living among us. That's right. So you be encouraged. We love you and we want you in the presence of the Lord. Come to this garden. Ask. Just say, I don't know where it is. Don't worry. We'll get you there. You come. And this is what Lucifer lost. And he fell from this glory and majesty into the darkness. He became like Lord Sauron of Mordor. Of the Lord of the Rings. He became the devil. Hate-filled, jealous, envious, lustful, desiring his own kingdom. So he started. The story goes, at first when him and his guys all fell, they went nuts down here. And maybe on your planet. And God had to wipe that mess off with a flood. And they got it together and they started forming their own kingdom with kings. Because if you go into the Bible, into Genesis 1, 26 through 28, us, our human spirit, our forever persons, to be the rightful spiritual king and develop on the planet we're on, the world of the kingdom of heaven with its laws and government. Being reflected out through our soul and our physical bodies. Well, Satan saw that pattern. He says, okay, I'm going to create my own kingdom of ignorance. And it'll be after my image and my nature. I'll still have to use that forever person because that's the law. but I'll twist them and pervert them, keep them in ignorance, torture them, abuse them. And I'll work through their souls. I'll work through everything I can to have my kingdom on earth. That's what's going on. You've been living in Satan's kingdom too long. So you come home. You come back to the garden, and then when death comes, you come on home to the kingdom of heaven. Get in the family. We miss you. We love you so much. You come home. Your father and mother, the great Jehovah, is waiting for you. You have a new family. Lots of people want to meet you, brothers and sisters. Come home. But first, come and see into the garden the presence of the Lord. Okay, that finishes this part of the kingdom of darkness. We'll pick up in the next part. We'll get back to the book. So you will learn about the kingdom you've been living in, and that's here on your planet, the kingdom of darkness, ruled by Satan and his things. I'll see you in the next one. Bye.